Good morning. Praise the Lord. Well, I don't have to give my sermon. We had a sermon all morning with our worship. But I will anyway. So Lord, as I share this morning, I ask that the truth of your word is what would be heard. And that each one of us would gain something new. And I just thank you, Lord, for the thoughts you've given me this morning. So on my way to, let me fix this. On my way to church this morning, driving in, I saw a little placard, made me smile, and I thought I'd share it with you. It has nothing to do with my message, but the question was, if you want to make a friend, what vitamin do you need to take? B1. So this morning I'm going to talk about stewardship. And before you start cringing, I'm not talking about tithing. I was inspired to bring this message. Maybe 2 months ago, I was having breakfast with a friend that I've known probably for 30 years. And he's approaching retirement age. And we were talking about many things, but he was asking me questions about some of the things he was thinking about as far as retirement go. Because he knew that years ago I did Christian financial counseling. And he said to me, he said, yeah, I remember those messages years ago that you brought on stewardship. And he said, I've been a good steward of my money. And I think I'm well positioned. I just, you know, don't know what's happening with all the new laws and everything. And that struck me, because I didn't remember that that I brought messages specifically about stewardship. In a general sense, I did. But he remembered for 30 years what he heard. So that struck me. And then I thought about that, and I remember two of the verses or the sections of Scripture that I taught of quite a bit when counseling people financially. And you all know them well. I'm not going to read them in detail, but the first one is in Luke 16, where a servant is being called by his master to settle accounts. And he goes, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. So he went to all of his master's debtors, and he made deals with them and cut their payments to the master by quite a bit. And even though that was not right, his master observed that he was a shrewd steward. So I want to read you a section of that scripture. In verse 8 it says, his master praised the unrighteous steward because he had acted shrewdly. But the focal of that parable is the summary of those 16 verses from Luke 16. It says, he who is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little is unrighteous also in much. And it ends with the verse that you know well, no one can serve two masters. You either have to serve the one or the other. And oh yes, the answer is righteousness, not unrighteousness. And then the other one that you know well is from Matthew 25. Called the parable of the talents. And he talks about the three servants, and he gives one 5 talents, one 2 talents, and one talent. And the man with 5 talents doubled his talents. The man with 2 talents doubled his talents, and the man with 1 talent hid his talent. And the Lord, when he came back, rewarded the man that doubled his 5 talents. He rewarded the man that doubled his 2 talents. And he scolded the man who hid his talent and didn't do anything with it and took it away. And again, you know, 2 of them were good stewards of what the Lord had given them, and 1 was not. So the reason that the Lord uses parables like this, and he references and talks about monetary things over 2,000 times in the Bible, because it's an element we can understand. And he uses it so that we can hopefully understand spiritual things. So that's kind of a preamble to what I really want to share today. Many months ago, the Lord gave me Colossians 3, and he wouldn't let me stop thinking about it. And the second verse in Colossians 3 says, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. And I'm an earthly guy. I think about all sorts of things all the time. So as soon as I find Colossians, I would just like to read that to you. The first 2 verses of Colossians says, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated, at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And it's simple words, 3 verses, and the Lord has been repeating them to me over and over and over again. So the key verse, though, is to not set your mind on earthly things, to set your mind on heavenly things. So what's happening in the world today? Evil is increasing. We listen to the news. What heavenly things do we hear about? Almost none. And lots of people, including myself, listen to all these reports. And our mind starts thinking and churning over all these worldly things. And some people have let that dialogue really affect them greatly. I met a man at the post office several weeks ago that I've known for many years. He goes to a Lutheran church, I'm not sure, maybe Reformed. Anyway, he's a very regular attendee. He loves to listen to the sermons. He goes to midweek meetings, and he was walking around in total fear. You know, the mask mandate had been removed. He had double masks, and it was, you know, and I tried to encourage him, but he wasn't at a place he could understand even that encouragement. And so in my humble opinion and observation, the last couple of years of COVID, the media has actually made us all fearful. Now, the good news is we know the Word of God. And that's really my focus this morning. So for us, there's hope if we trust in the Word of God. And I want to jump down in Colossians 3, and I may read this a couple times, but and the reason I want to read this is because this is a metric that we can use to kind of gauge what we're listening to. Verse 15 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." So in that one verse, peace and thankfulness. "That the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." And as I read that, I've read it a lot lately, I just thank the Lord that I'm here at Fountain of Life. This is a church fellowship that's founded on the Word of God. And the elders keep us on track. Everything that they share is based on the Word of God. And many of us are really into the Word of God. Many among us know a lot of the Word of God. And it's encouraging. You know, some of us have memorized books. Some of us have memorized just verses. Some of us can't memorize. But that's a qualified statement, because if I start to list some of the key verses that have, the Lord's kind of shown me, what are they? The 23rd Psalm. I think that's maybe one of the most widely used and memorized verses. And most people know the 23rd Psalm. So even if you can't memorize, you can. The Lord's Prayer. Most people know the Lord's Prayer. Again, scripture that is memorized. And then within our fellowship, some folks have just memorized certain parts of the Bible. But you know, even if you just do that, the Word of God is powerful. I know, you know, John loves Hebrews and Romans. Tim loves the whole Bible, knows it well. Peter and Paul know the Bible, know it well. And others have picked and remember certain prophets like Isaiah. I listened to Teresa share quite often from Isaiah. Nehemiah, Joel, Micah, even Nahum, even Habakkuk. So if I asked you what scripture is fundamental to you, some people would have a key verse. Others would have many verses. But what is so encouraging to me is that all of us together have the Word of God, and we share it with each other. in this time and age, that's what's really needed. The Word of God. So I thank you all because you are good stewards of the Word of God. And when we have these difficult times that we're facing, we can remember different scriptures. And each of us might have a different scripture that we can remember. The one, when I was doing this, I thought of John in Hebrews 6:13. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever leave you. We say confidently, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. So even if the man I mentioned to you earlier had memorized that scripture, maybe he wouldn't be walking around in that kind of fear. So I want to take a little side trip. I might have mentioned this once upon a time months ago, but I want to mention it again because I think it's important. In our Wednesday night meeting, we had to deal with all the COVIDness for the last several years. And some of us were quite concerned. Some of us laughed at masks. Others felt very strongly about masks. And neither side is right or wrong. But I kept sharing certain fundamental scriptures with the group. One of them was Philippians 4:6, which says, be anxious for nothing. And my mind just went blank. Sorry. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and the God of all peace will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And then the other one that we mentioned quite often was 1 Thessalonians 5:16, 17, and 18. Rejoice always. Now this is in the middle of COVID, right? Rejoice always. In everything, give thanks. I'm sorry. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So, simple scriptures, but in the middle of all the turmoil and all the news and everything else, not that easy to do. But, you know, as a group, as we went through those 2 years, those scriptures started to, in a sense, grow. We started to be able to not be as anxious. We started to be able to pray more, rejoice more. But the thing that made my day complete, so to speak, maybe a month ago, Bob Hatch on a Friday night got up and he shared those two scriptures, and he shared them because they weren't just the Word of God. Oh, thank you. Yes. And what Bob shared was how alive God made those scriptures to him. Some of you might remember. You know, pray without ceasing, without. In everything, give thanks, everything. And that's not the written word, that's the living word called Rhema. I was amazed and elated when that happened. Because that's where we need to get. We can read this Bible, we can memorize it. People have, and it never comes alive. But when it comes alive, what power. And in our fellowship here, it comes alive every Sunday. Jessica had a word this morning. Some of the sharing, what Peter shared, what Paul shared, the word is alive. So the other observation that I wanted to make is that I came across on Redeemer Broadcasting, I was listening to something, not paying attention, just driving, and whoever the speaker was said, whatever you listen to, that is what you become. And I thought about the world again, and how many of us listen to all that nonsense, all the conspiracy theories, all the negative reports. What does that do? It doesn't help us. How many of us listen to the Word of God and pay attention to that? That's what will help us. And I want to kind of summarize again with Colossians. And in those last several verses of Colossians that I read, I want to emphasize 4 points. Let us have peace in our hearts. You know, to me, that's been a measure. Do I have peace in my heart? If we don't have peace in our heart, we need to go back to the Word of God and let the Word of God encourage us. Are we thankful? Are we thankful all the time? I have a wonderful wife, and we'll be driving in the car, and she'll say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I'll go, what are you thanking him for? What's happening? And she'll say, I'm thanking him for him, for who he is. So, it also says, let the Word of God dwell in us richly. How good are we at doing that? Do we get distracted by all sorts of things in the world? And I love Bruce's story. He kind of was emotional, and I heard it a little different the other day. But his daughter, who disappeared for 18 years, while she was with Bruce and Carol, heard the Word of God. And when the Lord spoke to her 18 years later, she knew it was the Lord. Thank you, Lord. And let us teach each other with wisdom, admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness to God. How often do we do that? We're here Sunday morning. What about Sunday afternoon? What about Tuesday? What about Friday? So my closing thought is, whatever you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God our Father, because he is worthy of our thanks, regardless of our circumstances. And I just thank Paul for the songs this morning. You could see that flow through the songs. And I just want to remind everybody here how blessed you are to be in a Bible-believing church where the Lord is first, where the pastor is Jesus. What can I say? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble now. Are you going to share? I have something else to say, but I would like you to share.
Oh, you saved this spot for me? Thank you. I won't drink your water. I just want to embellish what you said about thanking the Lord for everything. I don't know if some of you remember, I was riding my bicycle and this boy rammed me into the street and crushed my tibia. The doctor said if you took a bag of crackers and broke it, that's how my bone looked, my tibia. And I said, I don't want to hear that. Anyway, I ended up a cast on my leg from my hip to my ankle. And he did it, and it bent my knee a little, so my foot was off the ground. And it felt like it weighed a ton. And then he said to me, well, you'll have to be with that for like 8 weeks. And this was in June, and I'm thinking, oh no, this means the hot summer. I had to stay in my living room because I couldn't go up the stairs. I couldn't barely walk. In fact, I passed out one time from the pain. Anyway, I ended up sleeping on my old broken down couch. But it's not a good place to be because everybody that comes in has to come in through the front door, past the couch, to get to the kitchen, to go upstairs. And I thought, how am I going to do all that? And at that time, my husband was going through stuff, and he was being loud and noisy and terrible. And I thought, oh, woe is me, God. What am I going to do here? And I'll be sweating and listening, and all these people, I'll never be able to rest. So then I thought of that passage in the Bible when the Lord said, thank him for all things. So I said, all right, God, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to thank you for what position I'm in. So I said, thank you, Lord, for my broken leg. And I kept saying it, and I thought, I hope no one is listening. They'll think I'm going crazy. And I kept saying, thank you, Lord, for my broken leg. And then I was laying down, and all of a sudden, I just felt like oil or something came over my body, all the way down to my feet, and I felt a peace that I can't understand. I can't explain it. There is no way to explain it. So it just was wonderful. I still had a broken leg, but at least I had that peace, and I felt comfort from the Lord. So I did make a tour, and I didn't have to have it for 8 weeks because I told the doctor I didn't like it. So he took it off against his wishes. But that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Joan. That's right. Thank you, Lord. And I'm glad Joan shared that because what was on my heart this morning, in the past number of weeks, we've kind of said announcements and, okay, we're done. But, you know, there's something we should do more. And that's pray for the folks that aren't here. Pray for the folks that are sick and ailing. Pray for the folks that think they're okay but really have problems and don't mention them. And we have a whole bunch of them in our fellowship. And I could go through and list a dozen names possibly. But I just want to declare that the word of the Lord is bringing healing to all these people. We've heard it prophesied. The word of the Lord says he does that. Even the thief on the cross, he looked at Jesus. And he was healed because he went to be with the Lord in heaven. So I pray for our brothers and sisters that are hurting and sick and just ask you, Lord, to bring healing to them in greater measure, more and more. And I just give you the glory, the praise, and the honor, and the thanks, Lord Jesus. Amen.